beautiful people. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Stokely and Josh. We're rocking with you 10 to 2. Appreciate y'all being with us on a snowy, cold Colorado Thursday. We got a lot to get into today as the Avs and Nugs were both in action last night. Free agency's officially underway. And that Broncos quarterback list is getting shorter and shorter. In fact, well, first off, how you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looking forward to a great show, different show. It's quiet out there.
Yes, it is.
On them streets.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Still action happening in the NFL. Had some a couple good games last night.
Good ones.
Those were fun to watch there.
Hell of a comeback for the Avs.
It definitely was. Nuggets took care of business. South Beach can't slow down the Nuggets. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, man, looking forward to it. Everything good?
Everything is good. Feeling good. Yeah, we stayed in the area around here, so we walked to work in the snow today, which was interesting. It was kind of fun.
It is kind of fun just to kind of get outside into the cold air, snow falling. It's not too bad right now out there. So.
No, not at all. We had a nice team bonding night. We bonded over some horse races. It was a good night last night. We'll get into all of it here today. Big win for both the Nuggets and the Avalanche. We're going to get to that. But I want to start with something. I feel like this is a bad week for Stokes quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett decided to go back to New England. You set your targets on Mason Rudolph, and he signed a 1-year, $3 million deal, a little over $3 million, 3.6 to be exact, with the Tennessee Titans. I saw it yesterday, and I'm like, man, Stokes guys are just getting scooped up, and this one is for a deal that I don't know why Denver's not in on a 1-year, $3.6 million deal for Mason Rudolph.
Well, it just tells you they don't like him. You know?
Not even for $3.6 million?
I guess not.
Dang.
You know? That's what it tells me. So you look at the list. I mean, who is left right now? Who do we have still available to possibly join the Denver Broncos as a quarterback?
Well, not Joe Flacco because he went to Indianapolis
as well. Joe Flacco's gone.
It's Drew Locke. It's Tyron Ranahill.
Is Drew still available?
Or Drew's in, he went to New York, right? To the Giants, excuse me.
Okay, so he's not even available. No. Your guy, Tyron?
Tyron Ranahill.
Okay, who
wanna
else?
Want to go get him?
No.
Okay, thank you for saying that. Brian Hoyer, you into that?
No, 10 years ago I was. I liked him 10 years ago, but not. I mean, no. So out on Hoyer.
Oh, I got a good one. Jimmy Garoppolo. He was officially released by the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday.
Now he's suspended for 2 games.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a negative, obviously, but No, thank you right now. I mean, he's the best of the bunch probably for me.
Of the available names, only two that you're going to know and that have started games is Tannehill, it's Garoppolo, Josh Dobbs is down there. Someone tweeted me and asked about Josh Dobbs. Fun story, but as soon as the league got some tape on him and figured him out, he was irrelevant at the position. So that's it. As far as starters go and guys that have time in the league, it's Tannehill. It's Garoppolo. Teddy Bridgewater's there, but he retired, right? He's coaching high school. So
how about Zach Wilson?
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell, or trade candidates, possibly. So if you're going to draft a quarterback, I don't think you draft a quarterback and have one of those two guys with that young quarterback. Talking about Sam Howell or Zach Wilson. Do you follow me?
Yeah, yeah.
They're both young quarterbacks still.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson is going into what, year... Is it 3 for him? 4?
I think it's 4.
Okay, and Sam Howell's going into year 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if we plan on drafting a guy, now you go out and you get a Ryan Tannehill or a Jimmy Garoppolo. If you're not, I want a little bit more competition there. I'm going to go with probably Sam Howell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's slim pickings. It just really is. And it's I lost another bet to you. And the salary cap now is majority of it's going on this year's cap. It's almost like it's just like, all right, we'll see y'all in 2025.
That's how it feels.
We're just going to lay low.
Yeah.
We're just going to lay low here, and we'll see you. We're going to regroup this year and see you in 2025. That's kind of the way it feels right now. And if we do that, then that won't be a negative thing.
They're paying their what, 7-8 year tax. That's what it feels like they're doing here in 2024. How bad they've been, how they've kicked things down the road, the can down the road a little bit. Well, it's time to pay the piper. And we're sitting in that window right now of where they have to pay the piper. A few of you are weighing in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We hadn't talked about this at all, but Taylor Heinicke is a name that a few texters have mentioned before. Is he in Atlanta, I believe, right now as a backup?
He was last year. Yeah, so I haven't heard his name, so I just assume that he's probably still in Atlanta.
And I'm not, I mean, Taylor Heinicke, Sam Howell, they're all...
I think he's got a little bit more experience. He's been around a little bit longer. But, I mean, none of these guys are going to move the needle for any of us.
No.
But I want someone else in here besides Jared Stidham. Please.
Yeah.
Someone. Anyone. Please.
Dude, it's looking like July 28th, media barbecue, the players report, and everybody talks, and it's so important. It's the big day. Jared Stidham rolls out there as QB1. That's what it feels like right now.
Well,
the draft can change a lot, but right now, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, to me, what it feels like is, they're, like I said yesterday, it's going to be quarterback roulette. They're going to spin it, and whoever's available for them, they're going to take in the first round. Nix, McCarthy, Penix Jr. Mm-hmm. They're coming away with one of those guys in the first round. That's the way this thing is headed for me. It just has to. So maybe they can move up and get one. They stay where they're at and get one. But this is signaling that they're going to take a quarterback in the first round.
All right, we're going to keep that conversation going. We're going to get into what the Nuggets were able to do down in South Beach and the big Avs comeback on the second night of a back-to-back. That's all coming here in hour number one. But we will keep this conversation rolling about quarterbacks. There is an interested party in one Justin Simmons. There was a big-time player interested, but his price tag's a little bit too high. We'll have that conversation as well coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all.
Spoken Josh with you till 2. Yeah, speaking of last night, I told Kevin this morning. I was like, man, I woke up and I saw a bunch of emails that I had horse racing information that I had signed up for in the evening because you were ripping some last night. And I'm like, I want to do that. And then I forgot all about what I had done.
Yeah, we looked over and there you were downloading the horse racing app.
Yeah.
It's like, awesome. Let's go.
Kevin had it on his phone. I'm like, dude, that looks awesome.
It was awesome.
I want to be a part of this.
We won a race.
I know.
Me and Kisner. We hit it. What'd we do? We boxed a...
Exacta.
Exacta box there or something.
I don't even know what that means.
Boom. I don't either, but it was fun, and we won. So there you go.
Big payday.
Yeah, it was awesome. We cheered. Everybody went nuts.
That's going to pay for my pizza right there.
Yeah, here we go.
My pizza bet.
Also, you did lose the pizza bet because the Broncos have decided they're going to take the $53 million cap hit for this year and lower it down into the mid-30s. I think it's 36 for 2025. And that was our bet. How would they handle the big Russ move? I want to talk about Justin Simmons, and we'll do that in just a moment. But we kicked it around last week. Man, it just feels like, Stoke, that this year they kind of see the writing on the wall. All right, we're going to do the best that we can to put a competitive roster out there, but we're going to kind of, as I said in segment one, pay the piper in 2024. We're going to have to eat this cap hit. We're going to have to hope, and again, I hate hope because hope's not a strategy, young guys develop. A Drew Sanders takes the next step. A Riley Moss takes the next step. Marvin Mims takes the next step. Guys like Nick Benito and Baron Browning continue to step forward because this year is about taking money, the money hit on the chin, and hoping that young men develop. And as you mentioned all week so far, Stoke, you got to hit in the 2024 draft.
Yeah. All right, here we go. You know, taking most of the money this year, which is fine if that's the way that you see this thing, as long as you got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a plan here and you go out there and execute it. So Obviously, the draft is huge. Free agency's been a little bit slow, which we all expected. Still, it's you want more, but that's just the way it's going to be this year. Hopefully, just get your house in order as we move forward here and find a quarterback along the way would be nice.
One texter here on the RamosLaw.com text line, all the way from Iowa, appreciate you, says it's not a real teardown. A teardown would have included Bowles, Sutton, and trading Sertan. How much worse could they be next year? I see that, and we've had that conversation. And look, I will say this about the Sertan. The draft hadn't come yet. Let's see how we feel post-NFL draft if Patrick Sertan's a part of a play to move up if Sean has fallen in love with one of these top quarterbacks, even J.J. McCarthy, who's now the second tier but climbing the ladder on the draft board. I understand where they're coming from on this, especially with the PS2 thing. Bowles, you and I said, it almost felt like it was Bowles or Simmons, that they made the choice of one of the two, and obviously they made the choice of Simmons. You need a left tackle. Left tackle is more important than safety, point blank, period.
Well, I think you look at it and you look at Bowles and Sutton and have we heard anything on DJ Jones?
No.
So DJ Jones is still in the fold right now. You can't get rid of everybody. You got to have some players out there. You know, you still want to go out there and compete. So you need left tackles, like you just mentioned. If you have a young quarterback in there, I want him to be protected as much as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, keeping Garrett Bowles is not a bad thing. The two that you do, you can look at and say, okay, do we really need to keep Cortland? Do we really need to keep DJ Jones? Right, so that's kind of how I'm looking at this thing. So I agree a little bit there, but also with the Bowles situation, whoever's playing quarterback, you want to keep that guy protected as much as possible. But when you look at a guy like Cortland Sutton and a guy like DJ Jones, where you can save a lot of money, but things can still happen here with Cortland. It's not until Sunday. The $2 million of his salary becomes guaranteed on Sunday, so they still have time with him. I'm not sure exactly what DJ Jones' contract looked like, but it seems like
it was like $10 million they could have saved with DJ.
Yes, yes. And I don't know if there's any guaranteed money on it. So it seems like if they plan on doing something, they would have done it, right? Like, you should know. What are you doing with DJ Jones?
Right.
Okay, if you don't want to keep him, then let him go. Same thing with Cortland Sutton. So nothing has happened yet. That just kind of signals to me that you probably expect both of them back.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was thinking about last night with the Cortland Sutton roster bonus that you just mentioned? $2 million on Sunday. So do they just, like, direct deposit? They send him a check? How does that work?
Cash.
Oh,
briefcase.
Really? Briefcase. Yeah. Oh, I've always wanted one of those,
Come by the facility. We got the briefcase ready for you. Just direct deposit.
So Saturday night, midnight or whatever, it goes in. He wakes up Sunday morning with $2 million in his bank account.
I guess.
Nice.
I don't know about those problems.
Oh, you didn't have
that. Yeah. Yeah. I never had those issues.
You didn't have a roster bonus coming in March ever?
No, not really. Not like that. Maybe it was a couple $100.
Okay. I just thought about that. Like, hey man, it's Saturday night. You know what? This round's on me. Midnight, I got something coming through. Everything's going to be just fine. So, look, Cortland is, we talked about it yesterday with what the wide receiver room is going to be. Same thing we say about left tackle. Have somebody to throw the football to. Cortland Sutton was the best of the wide receivers a year ago. So, let us know how you feel about a Broncos country, what this roster is. In fact, coming up at noon, with what we know as of today, we're going to look at kind of starters on both offense and defense. And how we feel about the roster that the Broncos could roll out. That's coming up a little bit later. I mentioned Justin Simmons, Stoke. I was actually surprised to learn what I learned yesterday about Justin and why he hasn't found a home yet. Apparently the Eagles were in on him early. And remember, it was the Eagles made some phone calls last year around the trade deadline about both PS2 and Justin Simmons. Apparently the Eagles wanted Justin, but the price tag was too high. That surprised me a little bit that Justin might be pricing himself out of what the Eagles are, which is a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I think, when you're a veteran player, you look at yourself a certain way and you look at the market and you value yourself at a certain number. And, you know, sometimes you overplay your hand a little bit when it comes to the market. I mean, we saw last year Don Reisner get into that type of situation. And all of a sudden, you know, all the money was gone and he wants to get paid like a, you know, a starting guard, yeah. And no one wanted to do that at that time because he just missed the boat a little bit, right, for whatever reason. And you look at Simmons, I don't know what that number is, what he was looking to get, but certainly you got to – that's why you have an agent, to know, you know, your value, know the market, know what's out there, know what it's like this year, not what it looked like last year or the mm-hmm. year before. Obviously, Justin's done really well and signed a huge contract. So, it's one of those things you look as a player, okay, what do you want? Do you want a team or do you want to get paid, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you got to choose between the two.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, and again, we talked a little bit about this yesterday of I'm always – money, dude. I'll take the giant paycheck over the opportunity to be on a Super Bowl contender. But I just looked at it from Justin's perspective of you've never been in a playoff game. You've never been competitive to be in a playoff chase at the end of the season. I know they were in the conversation this year, but it wasn't real. I thought he might prioritize that. And again, it's his decision. He gets to choose money or winning. And it just sounds like he's choosing money.
Well, sometimes you can choose both.
Sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's when it's really nice is when you're playing with a winning team and you get a nice contract. So we'll see what it looks like for him moving forward and what that number looks like. Obviously, still can play, mm-hmm. and someone will pick him up. But don't know the number. You know, and you mentioned this a couple of days ago, the market for the safety position, there's a lot of, it's like the running back market mm-hmm. almost. There's a lot of really good safeties available. So that's a buyer's market.
Yeah.
So we'll see what it looks like for Justin and what that number looks like.
And then next year, there'll be safeties getting paid like crazy as the running backs are here. I guess not crazy. Few running backs yeah. got giant paydays.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Do you think it happens pretty soon here for Justin?
Tennessee was interested. Was that yesterday or the day before? I think it does happen here. It's Thursday. Yeah, I'll say by into business today.
Into business.
Into business.
Okay.
COB, Kev. Close of business today.
All right. Well, everything that I've guessed or speculated on during free agency has been wrong. So
you're done guessing?
Yeah. I'm going to just leave it to you yeah. to do the guessing.
Let me be wrong for a little while. I'll take that burden over here. Broncos country, what do you make of it? Like I said, Mason Rudolph was signed yesterday. He joined the Tennessee Titans. It's kind of Jimmy Garoppolo, Tyron Ranahill, and Justin Simmons out there still looking for a squad. When we get back, let's go to South Beach. The Nuggets did it again. They beat the Miami Heat in Miami, and they are rolling after the All-Star break. We'll reset the big win for the Nuggets next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What? Come on. What?
Come on, Stoke. It is 10:30 on a snowy Thursday. Be careful driving out there. If you're out and about at work, we appreciate you being with us. We'll get you through the day till 2 o'clock. Then the drive, obviously, get you home a little bit later. It was a big night last night. Nuggets and Avs both in action. You had the Nuggets at 5:30 because they were on the East Coast there in Miami, and the Avalanche up in Canada taking on the Canucks. They did it later at 8:30. We're going to talk about the big comeback win for the Avs in just a few moments, but I want to start in South Beach where the Nuggets just take care of business. They get it done. Look, the Miami Heat, they were in a bad way, Stoke. I told you yesterday they had lost 3 in a row. They had lost to the Wizards, dumpster fire of the Washington Wizards, at home the previous game. So they were desperate. They needed to find a way to get a win. They made a fight. They made their runs a couple of different times, actually. But Denver, they're just too good. This is something I took away from the game last night. Whenever their opponent, and you saw it in the previous game, remember Jamal turns it on the fourth quarter after he had kind of got run through on a foul, and he turned it on. Watching the game last night, I thought, all right, every time Miami starts to make their run, they start to play with a little bit more energy and a little bit more pace. Denver does the same thing. And the problem for the other 29 teams in the NBA, you're not as good as the Denver Nuggets when they want to turn it on. So it's almost, I was thinking of a weird analogy. I don't know that you've ever seen it, but you know the movie Black Panther?
Never seen it.
Well, at the end, he gets this suit that, like, absorbs energy. And so, like, you know, if you hit him, that energy goes into his suit. The Denver Nuggets are like that Black Panther suit. The harder you try, the more they get engaged, and then they're just too good, and you can't beat them. So when you give more energy, you give more effort, it turns them on, it gets them going, and they're better than you. So the good teams, the best effort, it all has actually kind of worked against you. You know what I'm saying? Of like, you get them engaged, and you're not good enough to beat them when they're fully engaged.
Yeah, it's, you know, they really good teams and great teams, they have that switch. And it's and the Nuggets certainly have that switch. You look last night, and I was kind of surprised with the quick start. Got that lead early, mm-hmm. the 7-point lead after the first. And there in the third, it was kind of looking a little bit shaky there for the Nuggets. And then all of a sudden, they just turned it on in the fourth. And Reggie Jackson, I think it was like 7 straight points for yeah. Reggie Jackson late in the fourth. And then that was it. That was game over. And the one good thing about it, Jokic only took 8 shots, right? That was it. And so no triple-double, which was a bummer there. But the one good thing there late is Jamal got to rest for so long. Mm-hmm. And we talked about last game how tired he looked at the end of that game. And they did have to put him back in the dang game, which I hated. You know, he's rested for, it felt like 15, 20 minutes
yeah.
of real time. And then all of a sudden, what happens? They get a bucket, they get a steal, and then, you know, the lead goes from, you know, 14 to 10 or whatever, and Michael Malone, nervous Nelly, yeah. you know, he's got to put him back in the game. And he did it with Jokic a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I think, hey, if you're going to sit him for that long, then you know what? Then they just sit. That's it. If not, then get him back out there a little bit sooner. I don't like guys like that resting for that long, especially, you know, he's been banged up a little bit.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you go out there, you're cold, you haven't run around, and, you know, you pull a muscle, something bad happens. I don't like that, and we've seen it twice now. But overall, no real complaints about that game. They did what they had to do. Went on the road against a solid team. Like you said, mentioned yesterday, yeah, they were struggling, but that's still a good team. They still got some dudes over yeah. there. You know, Jimmy and Bam, And they went over there on the road and took care of business. That was a professional win.
It was. And Malone, and we're going to actually hear from him in a second, but he talked in his postgame about, like, do I take Reggie out? He's riding the hot hand. He hit the big shots that you mentioned. He made it, what, 94-84, I think, after one of his big shots made. It's, I don't know, Malone is that guy that, like, we've talked about it before with those rage timeouts that he calls it. Go back to the Utah game where they were in complete control, but Utah made their run, their pros, in the third quarter, and he's furious about it. There's times where, I don't know if it's a bad, a good, or just maybe completely indifferent and doesn't matter. Like, Malone can't turn it off. He never turns it off. Maybe that's just a coach thing. Is it Stoker?
Yeah.
They're just always coaching.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, if you like that action on games, and you've been through some heartbreaks,
yeah,
some heartaches, yeah. right, where it just, like, crushes you. You feel like you've won it, and the next thing you know, you lost. Mm-hmm. And, like, how did that happen? That doesn't leave you. And so when you're watching a game and your buddy's like, yeah, nice win, you got this win, you're like, no.
But, don't say that.
Yeah, don't say that. Like, until it's over, right, it's not a W. Mm-hmm. And coaches have been through the fire, right, where it's like they've had some tough losses, and they're scarred by that. Right. And so that's what you see with Michael Malone. And I'm, for the most part, I'm okay with it. I just think you got to tread lightly when it's guys that have been out for a long time. Okay. And then you put them back in the lineup when they've been sitting for extended period. But I'm fine with it. Hey, I want my coach to be on edge.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, these games are all important. We're trying to get the number one seed. I know they say, about the number one seed, they don't really care about it, but it would be nice to have it.
Yeah.
And right now they put themselves in position to have it. So, I overall like his approach. I just don't like how sometimes he's sitting these guys, Jamal and Jokic, in the mm-hmm. last week. It's happened to both of those guys. And then they sit for extended period of time. The next thing you know, the game gets a, and it wasn't like it got close, but he just gets nervous.
Yeah.
And there's 2.5 minutes left, and there's Jamal taking his warm-up top off and stretching.
He does get nervous. That's exactly what it is. Here's what Coach Malone had to say about the big night from Reggie Jackson.
You know, when you look at what Reggie's gone through as of late, you know, I know that he is a better player than he's played as of late. And for him to stick with it, and I just gave him a hug and said, I was so proud of you. And he said, well, Coach, thank you for sticking with me.
And look, he's right. Reggie's been struggling shooting the ball as of late. Reggie Jackson's a point guard off the bench. You're not relying on him to be the best shooter by any means a lot. And then usually when he is on the floor, he shares time with Jamal Murray. But seeing him hit those shots, the big buckets, like I said, that shot to make it 94-84, that was like pretty much it at that time. When he made that shot, it ended all the momentum. It took the life out of the room for the Miami Heat. Huge night for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, that was... It's always good to see when a guy's been struggling to have a night like that. And you saw after he hit that three-pointer late and Miami called a timeout, all his teammates were going crazy.
Yeah.
Right? And hugging him and just celebrating with him. So that was cool. But, that would be a huge boost if you can get a little bit of production from Reggie Jackson coming off the bench. Scoring wise,
you could limit the staggering minutes for Jamal. Then he gets more minutes late with the starters as opposed to early in the fourth with the bench.
Exactly, and we're always looking for points off the bench, right? You know, is it going to be Christian? Is it going to be Peyton? You know, who's it going to be? And if Reggie Jackson can provide a little bit, that would be a big boost for this team. Huge boost. I mean, we saw it last night. The impact that it had last night, and. Yeah, look, you go with the hot hand there. And Jamal's not upset if you're just rolling with Reggie Jackson late in the game and the Nuggets are pulling away. So, nice performance by him. Yeah, I think overall, it's just a nice, solid professional win for the Denver Nuggets. Going on the road, just taking care of business.
Real fast, we got a Nuggets hater on the text line. On the RamosLaw.com text line, kind of hating on Denver in general. Denver's probably the poor sportsmanship capital of the world.
Oh.
Are we poor sportsmanship?
Are we really?
I didn't think so.
We're poor sports?
We're poor sports? I mean, the Nuggets just won their first championship. How could they be poor sports? We lived with the Nug Life mantra where what can go wrong will go wrong. I don't know that that's poor sportsmanship.
I'm not sure what our esteem.
You're going to have to tell us what you mean there, 720-425.
Yeah. I mean, Broncos haven't won in since 2016.
Yeah.
So that can't be the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're taking shots at Malone too. This is definitely a Lakers fan. Let us know who you're a fan of there. 425. All right, you know what I'm a fan of, Stoke? Chance to win $5,000.
Oh.
And that's what you have at denversports.com/hoops. All you got to do is go to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sports Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. It's going to start on March 21st, so you have until then to go and get your bracket. But you're going to do a bracket. You're going to do 10 brackets. Make one with us. DenverSports.com/hoops. Thanks to our friends at Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. You're going to fill them out. Why not have a chance at $5,000? It's all at DenverSports.com/hoops.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Nuggets got a win last night. Avalanche got a win last night. Heck of a comeback win for the Avs. Second night of a back-to-back. They're on a four-game week-long road trip. And we wondered, of the eight possible points, what they could come home with. Well, halfway there. Four out of the possible eight after an overtime win last night against Vancouver in a game where they were down most of the game, trailing most of the game, chasing most of the game, and then found a way to get it right after a Mikko Rantanen goal down 3-1. Then the Avalanche started to turn it on, and Val did it again. Stoke, three games, three goals, two overtime winners from Big Val Nichushkin, and the Avalanche continue to roll, making it five in a row.
Yeah, that was a big-time win. You found yourself... down with a 3-0.
3-0, yeah.
And they're in the second, and you found a way to just fight and claw and make it a game, and then next thing you know, you got the thing tied up, heading into overtime on the power play, and it was that was just an overall impressive win by the Habs against a good team.
Yeah, it was.
Vancouver's a good team, and when they have you down 3-0, that's hard to come back from. On a back-to-back, it'd have been easy just to say, all right, it's just not our night. We just played last night. We won last night. We're good. But they didn't. And they went out there and they took care of business and they found a way to get it done. Just a really, really impressive way to get a victory there by the Avalanche.
Yeah, it was a big-time comeback win. Also got a fight, Nikita Zadorov and Josh Manson. And it was kind of disappointing, right, the fight? I didn't even realize it was Nikita. You actually told us as we were watching, like, that looks like Nikita Zadorov. And I wanted him to really square up. Plus, it's like, you know, in a hockey fight when they're circling and they're taking the pads off and they're rolling up their sleeves, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be a couple haymakers thrown. And then Zadorov falls down. And I do kind of like that Manson gave him one on the way down, but I wanted to see that last a little bit longer.
Yeah, he, you know, I think, what is it, like proper protocol, fight hockey protocol. Like when they're on the ground, you can't, you know, not supposed to hit them. But like if you accidentally slip and just fall on top of them with the elbow, like, oh, my bad. That's what it kind of looked like there. But, yeah, not much happened in the fight. Big Z got thrown to the ground, and that was pretty much a wrap there. But I think overall, though, when you look at that win by the Avs on the road, back-to-back, you got the new guys, it's like, all right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm really getting excited about is this team kind of coming together with the new pieces with the return of Val. And we've seen his importance, like you said. And it's like, okay, now this team I could see holding the cup at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Not a couple weeks ago, you know, with Noval and what that team was looking like then. But now I can see that, Josh. Mm-hmm.
It does. It seems like both the Avalanche and the Nuggets are hitting their stride. This is a weird question. It just popped into my head. Is it too early to hit their stride? Like are they finding themselves too early and then drop off before the postseason starts? Is there even a timeline for that?
Yeah, I think, look, you just want to be playing good. Good puck, good ball. You know, whatever it is. And, you know, it's obviously you want to be playing your best at the end. Well, just keep improving, right? Just keep getting better, right? There's things that you can improve on throughout the course of the season and even when you're playing really, really well. So I think that's ultimately the goal for both these teams because they're both playing really, really good right now, is just find little things to improve on the rest of the year.
And it was the 21st come-from-behind win for the Avalanche, tied for Dallas for tops in the league. They also score a whole bunch of goals in the third period, one of the top teams in the NHL in that category as well. With the Nuggets, Soka, I feel like, and you said this earlier, they have the ability to turn it on. Maybe it's because they're the most recent champions, and I'm using, you know, recent history to feel this way, or that's how my feelings have come. I'm not necessarily okay with that. Like, hey, just turn it on, and you're going to be okay. The Nuggets can do that, and I have more confidence in them. I don't know that I haven't got that feeling quite yet with the Avalanche. Maybe I do need to see a little bit more of the new guys of like, oh, yeah, you can turn it on whenever you want. You're down 3-0. It's all good. I don't feel that. When they were down 3-0 last night, I was like, this thing's over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think when you look at the goaltending situation for the Avs, you know, that can make it difficult to dig yourself a hole and find your way out of it, right? When your goalie's a little bit shaky. But he gave up the two in the first, the one there early in the second, 3-0, and then none after that. The goal that was, it was a goal like with 2 seconds left to go in the second.
Yeah.
You know, the clock's winding down. And it was Mikko just kind of slung it. I think it was him that just kind of slung it towards the net as it was ticking down to end the second period. Mm-hmm. And it hits off, I think maybe it hit off a Canucks player and just goes in the goal. And that was the big one. So instead of being down 3-0, you got one with 3 seconds left to go in the second period to kind of give you some life and some momentum. And it carried over there in the third. So it's, I'm with you. You know, you feel better. And I think basketball in general and the NBA, you see that all the time. Well, I mean, we saw the Golden State game 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, they're down. Felt like they're down 18 points. Next thing you know, they're winning by 18. So it seems like you can flip things a little quicker in the NBA than in the NHL.
Yeah. I don't know. As good as Nathan MacKinnon is, it just seems, you know, basketball, you can have one guy take control the way that Nikola has done. So they're both really good. They're both really, really hot right now. And, you know, you make the argument that the Nuggets are the best team in the NBA, certainly the best team in the West. Boston obviously doing their thing. And with who the Avalanche have become over the last, I don't know, what do you want to call it, 8-9 days since the additions of the new guys and Val has been fully back, they're one of the better teams in the entire NHL as well. So I know we always joke and have fun about dual parades or, you know, back-to-back parade days in the Mile High City, but man, it has never been more real than it is right now with the Ball Arena Bros and the way they're playing.
Well, no, you start to take a look at the playoff situation here, and all of a sudden they're tied with Dallas atop the Central, right? With both of them have 89 points, and then Winnipeg right behind them at the third spot with 87. So this thing is wide open here. It could be any one of those teams that end up getting that number one seed. So it's they fought their way back in here this past week with some good playing, and they've won 5 in a row. So they gave themselves a chance to get that number one seed there.
Yeah. By the way, I'm checking back in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. This texter that was saying that Denver's poor sports when it comes to our sports teams, all of their reasons are absolutely ridiculous. So this is, I think, a grade-A troll job. He's talking about people not going to games when the teams are bad. You think that's a Denver problem, homeboy, or is that just a sports problem? People don't give their money to products when they're bad, and then they talked about the game being blacked out on ESPN. Again, that's not a fan problem, my guy. That's a broadcast problem that the team and their outlets have to figure out. Has absolutely nothing to do with the fan base. So, nice try. Keep rolling there. 720-425. Poor sports. Like, I don't think he knows what the definition of poor sportsmanship is. Maybe look that up before you send the text in.
Yeah, you're giving him too much attention.
Sorry. I was mad about it. All right, let's take a timeout. I've heard Phil and Zach talk about it, the face of the Broncos franchise. I want to get into that because their answer is probably right. It is Sean Payton. But is that a good thing, a bad thing? Does it even matter with the current state of the Denver Broncos? We're going to answer that question and try to figure out why Roddy White's so mad at Sean Payton and Mark Schlereth.
Oh.
That's next.